So I'm going to try to go with the vacation attorneys. Austin handles all every. It can either be dismissed as an do a discretionary referral to what is called CAP, and CAP is the Client Attorney Assistance Program. So if a client writes in and says, "I've called my attorney 700 times and they never respond to me," and that's the bulk of the grievance, we can send it to CAP. And we can ask CAP to reach out to the attorney and say, "Hey, this client's trying to reach you. Could you please respond to them?" And if that all gets solved, then the grievance goes away. If it doesn't get solved, then it'll get upgraded back to us in the Chief Disciplinary Counsel's office. But CAP also now handles fee disputes. So if the client says, "The attorney charged me $5,000 and they didn't file anything, they didn't do anything," there's probably more issues than that. But if it's simply a fee dispute, it's like, "I paid $5,000, but I really think I only should have paid $3,000 with no other explanation, which that does happen, then it can be sent to CAP, and CAP can try to work that out as kind of a mediator, and then the grievance can go away, and that makes everybody happy. If the grievance gets dismissed as an inquiry, there is an appellate process. The complainant can appeal to the Board of Disciplinary Appeals, and they can ask for BODA, is what we call them, BODA. They can review it and decide whether or not there is actually potentially a grievance or an ethics violation or not. But if BODA says no, you're not alleging anything that would be an ethical violation, then it gets affirmed and it goes away, and there's no further appeal from there. Once the grievance does get upgraded and comes to our office and gets assigned to a trial attorney, I'm one of the trial attorneys, and an investigator, and then it gets served on the attorney, and the attorney gets 30 days to respond. And then once the response happens, the disciplinary counsel gets 60 days to decide whether or not they think there are potentially rule violations or not rule violations. We were also given, in 2018, we were given these investigatory hearings. And these investigatory hearings go before the grievance panel members, and the respondent gets the opportunity to come and kind of plead their case to this panel, and the complainant gets to come and air their grievances, all puns intended. And then a panel decides with the disciplinary counsel whether the panel thinks that there is a violation. And if they do think there's a violation, they can give the trial attorney a sanction range that they think that the attorney might be willing to settle without having to go forward into into litigation, without a lawsuit, without moving forward. These investigatory hearings have been invaluable, I think, to everyone involved. And it's because sometimes the complainant just wants somebody to hear you. Like, sometimes the complainant just is mad and just wants other people to hear, like, how they feel they've been wronged. And it's of great value to the attorney in that situation, because then they feel like they've had their day in court, they were able to, you know, give their speech. But the respondent also can sit there and defend themselves. The respondent can say, "Look, here are the receipts. Like, here's all my communication logs. Here's all of the things I did in this case." And it's difficult for a complainant who sees that documentation with a panel who says, "Okay, yeah, I see what happened here. What are your further complaints?" And we settle, I'd say, in our investigatory hearings, about 90% of the cases that go to investigatory hearing don't have to go into, maybe even more than that, don't have to go further in the grievance process. And the investigatory hearing panel can dismiss the case. They have the opportunity to say, "Look, we've heard everything now, and there's nothing else, and there's no appeal." If it gets dismissed by the investigatory hearing panel, that's it. It's done. There doesn't have to be any more from the respondent. You can think easy and move on. We also have a diversionary program called GRP. It's the Grievance Referral Program. I had a respondent's counsel explain it as defensive driving for ethics violations, and it kind of is. If you did something wrong, and but you have methods in place for it not to happen again, and you've shown us that you are trying to do better, we can send you to the Grievance Referral Program. And the administrator, Jennifer Ibarra, who is a wonderful human, she tailors the program to the person. So let's say I took down some notes from one of the previous presentations given on Friday, or today is, I don't know what day it is, guys. A day that's not today. And they were talking about, communication by your support staff to the client. And you have to be extremely careful, and I'm going to talk about this more at the end, but extremely careful that your paralegal is not giving legal advice. You have to make sure that, you know, when they know what questions are being asking, what they're allowed to answer and what they're not allowed to answer. And so let's say your paralegal wasn't doing it on purpose and you had given them instruction, but there's information going out that maybe support staff should not be giving. Maybe those are conversations that should be had with the attorney.